This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. So I need to let you know something before I get to the right being squishy on this birthright citizenship thing. I need to let you know something that is coming up 2 hours from now. Obviously, as you know, the show will be over 2 hours from now. But at 9 o'clock Eastern, Donald Trump is going to address the nation. The subject of it is going to be Iran. The rumors, and I need to stress, it's only rumors so far. I don't know this. But the rumors are that Donald Trump is going to say, we won 2 or 3 weeks. We're coming home. It's your problem now, everyone else, to open the Strait of Hormuz. We are done, and we're coming back home. We're wrapping things up. That is the rumor, and for a lot of different reasons, I hope that's what he says. I will be sitting in this chair tomorrow applauding if that's what he says and that's what happens. That's just a rumor, but that is what I am hearing. We shall see. That's 2 hours from now. Now, I've got a lot of questions, had a lot of questions about the right when it comes to birthright citizenship. Why is the right acting confused on it? We get why the communists lie about it. Communists lie about everything all the time. As we always talk about, they're trying to wreck the country. They want to bring foreigners in. So you just lie. I think this law wasn't just for slaves. It was definitely for someone from Somalia who just, low crawled here from South America. But why does the right act confused? All right. You know, my wife was a gymnast, as I've told you many times before. So I met her in college. Well, she was in college. I was going to Pima Community College and working construction anyway. But she was on the University of Arizona gymnastics team. And so when I started dating her and then married her, she was on the University of Arizona gymnastics team. Because of all this, I ended up spending a great deal of time around gymnasts when she was with her friends. Her friends were her teammates. They were all gymnasts. And I was taken aback because I'd never met a gymnast in my life before. I was taken aback by this. How many of those women had serious issues with their own body? And when I say issues, I don't mean physical issues. They thought they were fat. They thought they were ugly. To this day, you can bounce quarters off of Aubrey's stomach. She'll look at herself in the mirror and say, I think I'm getting fat. Am I getting fat? And I'll burst out laughing. She had one friend who I won't name. No question had some sort of an eating disorder. Was scary skinny, the kind of not really healthy looking skinny. And this girl would tell you till she was blue in the face that she was chunky, that she was getting chunky. Okay. Why? Because young gymnasts, not always, you got to be careful, but young gymnasts oftentimes will have a coach or coaches throughout their youth who bash them about their weight at all times, weigh them every day, check their body mass at all times, and will tell them if they gain a pound, you go to McDonald's one time, you're fat, you're gross, you're fat, you're gross. So what happens? These wonderful young ladies, all of them super fit, super in shape, pretty as can be. They think they're ugly. They think they're fat. And they develop what? They develop a complex. They've been told they're fat so many times, you eventually develop a complex. In the United States of America, for the entirety of my life, the quickest way to ruin your life or ruin your reputation is for it to be exposed that you are a racist. Racism. Now, don't get me wrong, racism's bad. You don't want to be a racist, but racism has always been treated for my entire life as the highest of all evils, that there is nothing above it. If I sent Jewish producer Chris a text message and it said something, it exposed me as being a tax cheat. I cheat on my taxes. I don't cheat on my taxes. But if it, no uncertain terms, you read that text and it exposed me as being a tax cheat. Now, that's against the law. That's bad. I don't even think I'd lose my job. Probably not. I certainly wouldn't suffer any major reputational damage. If I sent Jewish producer Chris a text and it came out later and it exposed me as being a Marxist, all the way Marxist. I love Vladimir Lenin, all the horrible things that come with being a dirty communist. And you can read that text message and you know, oh my gosh, Jesse is a communist. I'd be fine. Look, you probably wouldn't listen anymore, but I'd be fine. It's not like I'd have to pull the kids out of school. But if I sent Jewish producer Chris a text message that said the N-word, no, I've never sent that, so don't worry. But if I sent Jewish producer Chris a text message that said the N-word and that text came out, career over, gone immediately, fired, way more than that, I would probably have to pull my children out of school. Probably. There's a chance I would have to sell my home and move out of my town. Why? Because long, long ago, the communists figured out that racism accusations over and over and over again, it can give the people they're trying to destroy a complex. And once they give those people a complex, then they can use that complex to their advantage. Very similar to, you know, I just told you about Ob. If I came home tonight and I wanted Ob not to have any of the pizza, I ordered a pizza and I don't want to share it. I don't want her to have a slice. Well, because she had been given a complex, all I'd have to say is, you know, baby, you have put on a little weight. She wouldn't eat again. She'd never eat again. No, I've never said that to her, by the way. She could, by the way, gain some weight to be fine by me. But you see what I mean? She has a complex. So if I was an evil person, I could use that to my power advantage and gain control over things. In the United States of America, you learned it in school, you learned it in movies, you learned it in books, you learned it everywhere you looked, that racism is the height of all evil. There is nothing worse you can be than a racist. If you were a bigot, if you were a racist, it's the worst thing in the world. You're not racist, are you not racist? And what it's done, it's given the right a complex. So many accusations of racism have come towards the right that now the right will back off of super important issues for fear of being called one. The birthright citizenship issue was out there today. What were they saying on CNN?
The very creation of the 14th Amendment was meant to combat racism. And really, implicitly, people who are challenging that clause are really espousing a racist viewpoint.
They know the tactics. They use them well. And they use them because they are effective. And it's not just the black race communists who use this all the time. The people who want open borders, the mass importation of foreigners, every single time you try to build the wall, deport somebody, do anything like that. What is the accusation? Every single time. Racist, that's racist, that's racist, it's racism. Well, why would they keep going back to that? Why would you keep going back to the same strategy? Because it works. Because the right has a severe, severe complex with that word, with that issue. Years of those accusations has given the right a complex. It has paralyzed the right with fear, certainly our politicians. They turn and run scared at those accusations every time they come up. Even after George Floyd died of an overdose, you not only had Tim Scott out there pushing federal police reform, Donald Trump himself had up, we need a law enforcement roundtable to see what's going on. Everybody mortally afraid of being called the R word. A complex that the communists have used to their advantage for a very long time. It is up to you to decide whether that word will be effective on you. All right. We'll do a couple emails before we move on. Some good things happening in the business world. We have BK going to talk about Iran military matters about 15 minutes from now. What have we done to them? What can they do? Are they done? Where are we at with this whole thing before we do that? Pure Talk hires Americans. I just want to stress that. Over and over and over again, I want to stress to you that while Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile ship as many jobs overseas as they possibly can, here's Pure Talk hiring Americans. An American company, American jobs for American citizens. And it's not just a wonderful thing to do, it makes the customer service experience freaking wonderful. When you switch from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you can keep your phone, you can keep your phone number, you're going to save a fortune. They're on the same towers, so you don't have to stress dropping calls. And you get to spend 10 minutes on the phone with an American. Is that the kind of company you want to do business with? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Marine mini mitts. Not very nice. The subject of this one, oh boy. The subject of this email is throwing commies out of helicopters. I've noticed you've stated that you don't want to throw anyone out of helicopters. As a father, husband, man, and veteran, I'd love nothing more than to throw those who mutilate, support mutilation, and kill innocent babies from helicopters. It would put a smile on my brain. But in my heart, as a Christian, I'm conflicted. These are evil, evil people. I don't think it makes me a bad person, but a mere man of God's creation. All right, his name is Rob. Well, couple things. First, as I have said before, it is very, very difficult to kill your way out of a problem. Very, very difficult. You know how I know? The communists have been trying for 100 years. Every single problem they encounter, they just start butchering people. And still, they can't overcome it. It's hard to kill your way out of a problem. It just is. That's one. Two, if you are filled with righteous anger at these evil demons who plague us, that's good. If you want justice, that is good. However, justice looks like an arrest, a fair trial, and then whatever punishment comes afterwards. An arrest, a fair trial, and then whatever punishment comes afterwards. Now, I'm just like you. I have the same fantasies you do. Or we could just put that pedophile in a wood chipper. You know, I have the same fantasies you do. But for a society to function well, what you need is a justice system that works, where these people are arrested, given a fair trial, and then receive their punishment. Now, the punishment portion, I could definitely go for a ratcheting up of that. And you're starting to see more of an appetite for that in red states, death penalty for this and that. You're starting to see more of that. It doesn't make you a bad person or a bad Christian or something like that to want justice. I just want to warn you again, as tempting as it may be, it's almost impossible to kill your way out of a problem. Sounds very simple. We love watching movies about it, of course, but it's very, very difficult. Jesse, in reference to your rant on cleaning up society, what is your opinion on prison colonies? We dump the dregs onto an island, provide the basics, food and water, let them build their own utopia. I'm a huge fan. I've been a huge fan for a very long time. I think prison colonies got a really bad rap. There was a huge propaganda campaign against them. But here's the reason I'm a fan of them. I'm a fan of them because of illegals. I believe that illegals should not be merely deported. I think there has to be some sort of a punishment. Only I don't want you in an American prison. I believe that you should be afraid to be caught here if you're an illegal, because you will be sent to some sort of godforsaken penal colony. You have to. How many times have we read a story where there's some scumbag illegal, and the story, part of the headline, or you have to read down into the article, you'll see that has been deported three times, twice deported, three times deported, and it drives you crazy, right? It drives me crazy. What do you mean? Why'd we let him go? Well, you arrest him. Even if you arrested him for committing a crime, you may put him in prison for a while here, but then what do? When you're done, you deport him. Well, as we've seen, you deport them, they just turn around and come right back. You know why? Because you did not make him sufficiently afraid to be caught again. Now, if you were to, let's say, drop him on a penal colony, Greenland, for instance. I don't even need a tropical one. I don't want these tropical diseases. I'm not out here to starve everybody to death. I'm really genuinely not. Make sure he can bundle up. Have a nice cold day. Enjoy the ice, my friend. I think a few years there would probably make that dirtball more hesitant to go crossing the border again. I want penal colonies for foreigners. What, Chris? Am I pushing for Greenland again? Now, hold on. I never stopped. When Donald Trump was talking about buying it, I told you right then that I wanted that for foreigners. I wanted a penal colony in some frozen hellscape for foreigners. Yeah, it's exactly right. And corrupt politicians. And I think you should put them all in there together. I'm a huge fan of it. Absolutely huge fan of it. I'm a big believer in it. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen yet, you see. Once things get bad enough in the West, the Western man may finally find his appetite again for punishing bad people. Then we can get all this stuff fixed, get him over there in that Greenland penal colony. Anyway, we have to talk to BK. I'm not responsible for whatever garbage music he chooses to introduce himself, but I want to know militarily, how's Iran doing? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. And I'll be honest with you, that might be the best song BK has ever played on this show. Joining me now, my buddy Air Force PJ, host of the World News with BK podcast. BK, all right, BK, we'll skip past everything because I have to ask a question. I've been asked multiple times, why don't you run for office?
You know, it's an excellent question, Jesse. And originally I very much did, but you know, now I've kind of seen the light and I've realized that my governor, Gavin Newsom, is actually an extraordinarily accomplished and intelligent man who's doing great things for the state. And so there's really no reason for me to run for office. Come on. It's April 1st. I had to do it. I could honestly never, I've thought about it, Jesse, actually, but then look at us, right? You and me, we have literally years of recordings of both of us saying extremely frank and controversial things. I cannot imagine the hours of opposition research that would be going in and playing horrific things I've said on the podcast. So it's probably a no-go for me. I think you're still okay, though.
I don't like my chances either, BK.
Jesse, they'd pull up your Twitter account and it'd be over. Like after 10 seconds. Come on, let's be honest here.
Yeah, that's fair. So let's move on to other matters. Everybody under the sun has opinions about the Iran war, and we're actually going to get to domestically where we're at, how we're looking for elections. But militarily, BK, is what I'm interested in right now. Yep. Where are we? Where are they? Where is Israel? Where is all this stuff?
Well, Jesse, like I told you, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. Whether you agree with it or not, there is a plan, and the plan is being executed, right? Everybody likes to howl and moan about this being like a drawn out process, but this isn't war 100 years ago anymore. You can't just go into a country and just carpet bomb them, or even worse, create a plug in that Strait of Hormuz by sinking some ship on accident, and not to mention an environmental catastrophe, right? This is on a very, very surgical operation. I mean, the Iranian Navy's gone. They have no air force. That's gone. The best they can do is these, the drone attacks, and they can be devastating, but they're slowly having that power as well whittled away. So what's the question is, like, where does it go from here? Because there's definitely a split between what the country of Israel wants and what the country of the United States wants. And that is going to come to a head, especially, I don't know if this is true, I've seen this cited in several sources, but the Israelis are pretty much ruling out sending any of their ground troops in on some kind of ground invasion in Iran. And it's like, well, then what you expect us to do it? Like, they are out of their minds if they think that. And I also see that Saudi Arabia and some other Arab countries have talked big about, like, well, we need to fight back, except they're not contributing any offensive weapons either, Jesse. So militarily, Iran is being slowly choked. Whether this is good or not for diplomacy, foreign policy, domestic politics, that's clearly up in the air.
Again, speaking with BK, host of the World News with BK podcast. Okay, BK, so walk me through this. I know we have ground troops mobilized over there. It doesn't mean they're going in. We don't know that yet, but we have ground troops mobilized over there. They have no air force. They have no navy, as you pointed out. Slowly but surely, their drone technology is disappearing. So if we finish off their military, or they run out of them, yet they don't submit,
right?
What do we do then?
Then you're looking at another occupation. And the American public, Jesse, has no patience with this. I know, like me, you have your ear to the ground to, like, a lot of the Gen Zers, the millennials, the younger crowd. And something that both of the far right and far left share in common is having zero desire to get entangled in another prolonged Middle Eastern conflict. And we can see this in Trump's poll rating, Jesse. It drives me crazy, as I know it does you. The man takes over the presidency in January of 2025. He's got a very high approval rating, shockingly, even Trump, right? It outweighed his negative rating. And now, in the last year and a few months, it's all gone down the toilet. And he's one of the worst approval ratings ever. I don't understand what he thinks he's doing here. I, like you, hey, if we want to wipe out some of Iran's war capability and their capability to send their troops abroad, murdering hundreds of thousands of women, children, civilians over the last few decades, great. But I, like you, have no desire to see us invade and occupy another Middle Eastern country. I certainly hope the president realizes that probably isn't very popular domestically. So it's hard to say, but I'm definitely not in favor of any of that.
Okay, so you said I've made this point on the show before that the United States and Israel have different end goals here. Allied and a common enemy, no question about it, have been allied in several military campaigns, but we don't want to go near as far as Israel wants to go. So can we just leave them? Hey, we're going home. Whatever y'all do, you do, but we're leaving. Is that an option?
I mean, Jesse, I don't see why it wouldn't be. Like, we are under no obligation to Israel to have some sort of prolonged conflict with them. We're doing it because, like you said, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's wise or not, they are our longtime ally in a very tumultuous part of the world. Not to mention, Jesse, there's a ton of very, very influential Americans with ties to Israel who are very powerful in the U.S. government, and that's fine, you know, good for them. That's very accomplished, and that's just the way it is. And so I think, no, of course, we have the right to our own destiny, and we look at how increasingly unpopular this is. The Israeli-Gaza war, for example, alienated, whether you people want to admit it or not, half of America hates it. So it's very popular domestically, and people are saying, like, why are we involved at all? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, last night, she's saying, like, she is going to block any grants of weapons to Israel, and I suspect that that will not prove to be very unpopular when it comes to push and shove. So, yeah, they could do their own thing, and we can do our own thing. We're a sovereign nation, Jesse. We're the United States of America, and we can do what is best for our country, not somebody else's.
BK, is the Ukraine-Russia war over? Why do I never see any headlines anymore? What is happening?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Jesse. No, it's not over. It's kind of where it's been at. It's this trench-style warfare, giving an inch a day, taking an inch a day. It's not over. People are still dying constantly. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw this, Jesse, but breaking today, an Antonov, that huge Russian transport plane, crashed in Crimea, killed all 29 people on board. And remember, Russia annexed Crimea back in 2014 and held that ever since. But it's still going on. I think, like most people, we just got tired of paying attention to it. And the Iran war was the sexy new thing on the block. And so that's what everybody's attention to. But people are still fighting and dying in Ukraine. The death tolls are increasingly unbelievable. Like, Russia has taken over 1 million casualties. Now, that's dead and wounded. But that's completely insane for a four-year war that people barely pay any attention to. And we're talking 1 million casualties. The Ukrainians have suffered horrific casualties. It's a human tragedy. And everybody's attention is focused elsewhere.
BK, if Trump wraps up this thing and comes home, can we get this thing turned around somewhat before November comes, because I'm concerned?
I think it could be turned around, but he really needs to look inward, like you said, Jesse. We have a lot of domestic issues right now. And hey, you know, even if you could be the biggest Trump supporter in the world, but the fact is, if you want to look at cold, hard money, Jesse, this little Iran excursion has cost us tens of billions of dollars. And I saw that, you know, Hegseth was looking for another $200 billion for this. And I'm like, you must be smoking that good crack, because that is never going to happen with what's going on in the United States. They've got to wrap it up quick. Trump can do his usual declare victory if he wants to, whatever, and move on. But nobody is really a fan of this. And only the real, real diehard MAGA crowd is supporting Trump and whatever he does. And Jesse, you need more than that. You need more than just the diehard MAGA crowd to win elections. I keep trying to explain this to people and they don't want to hear it. I'm like, I want to win elections. I don't want to just support one man and lose constantly. And unfortunately, a lot of Republicans don't seem to understand the difference between those two.
BK, my brother, I appreciate you very much. Come back.
Thanks, Jesse.
Host of the World News with BK podcast. All right. Are you trying to hire somebody? What a friggin' nightmare, right? It is harder today. Isn't this wild to think about? As connected as we are, it is harder today for employers to find somebody good than it has ever been before. So you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a must. ZipRecruiter, it puts the best, most active candidates for your job in front of you immediately. Not, we'll get back to you next month. Hey, hopefully this quarter we can get you someone. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first freaking day. That is amazing. That is efficient. That is what you need because you don't have time to look for somebody all day long. You have a business to run. Let ZipRecruiter do the work. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. El Tenador. I love that name, Chris. What does it mean? Chris. Can't believe you don't speak Mexican. I've been trying to figure out why the greeny environmental communists are quiet these days. They don't just drop their agenda because it's losing favor. So why don't we hear much about it anymore? Great question. Here's what it is. Why don't we hear as much about it anymore? Remember how many times we've had the talk about the commie street protests and how they're not organic? These aren't just people sitting at home and they got mad and they're going out to protest Trump. They're paid for, organized, paid for. Organized, but let's focus on the paid for a moment. We know now, because of the wonderful investigative reporting that happens on the right, billionaires and groups and billionaires who start groups write large checks to these street animal groups to get all these purple-haired freaks out in the streets with their professional signs, oh no, we're all gay, that kind of thing. You know, it's all paid for and organized. So, cutting off the money cuts off the street protests. Well, what does this have to do with the greenie stuff? There's been a gigantic amount of money behind all the fake climate, the global warming crap. It's all fake. None of that stuff's real. The science isn't behind it. They lied about all that stuff. But there have been huge government checks in it for people. Huge billions, and you don't even want to know the total amount of your money that has been handed out by the government for various causes, not just the Enviro Group, the solar panel company, that the huge, huge amounts of money have been invested. So much of the green movement was just about people getting rich. It was just another way to steal from you. Now, your stupid liberal Aunt Peggy, she believes all the global warming crap, but the people making billions of dollars off it, they don't believe any of that crap. Your liberal Aunt Peggy's a moron. She's a useful idiot. The people making money, they don't believe in it. None of those people believe in it. And we've always pointed that out. You know, John Kerry going everywhere he possibly can to tell you that your SUV's destroying the planet, except he flew there on a private jet. Is he a hypocrite? No, he's a liar. Not a hypocrite. A liar. Different. Very different. He's not a hypocrite. He doesn't believe in it. He knows your liberal Aunt Peggy's a moron taking Xanax. She believes in it. So she's useful. It's always been about money. But where is it gone? What is happening? Two things have happened. The Trump administration, wisely and to their credit, has cut off a lot of that federal money. So your money isn't being used for it anymore. And two, and this is a big one, the money is going somewhere else now. Every powerful businessman I know talks to me about AI, artificial intelligence, AI. AI is the future. AI is everything. AI is this. AI is that. I just saw that huge company, Oracle, just laid off tens of thousands of people. I think the number was 20,000, I believe. 20,000 people. Why? AI. Okay. What's that got to do with anything? AI, it requires data centers, a huge chunk of land, a huge chunk of land where they will build a data center to power and drive this stuff. Billions and billions and honestly, the numbers probably trillions is getting funneled into AI, artificial intelligence, and data centers. Well, data centers require energy, lots of energy. Entire energy grids have to go into data centers to keep them running, to keep them cool. They get very hot. It's just, whatever. I won't bore you with the details. It requires a lot. And guess what can't cut the mustard? Solar panels, windmills. Basically, the green movement, it's kind of on the outs because we can't afford to destroy the power grid anymore. And even these big companies that were pushing all this green this and green that, all this climate commie garbage, they've shifted into AI, into data centers, into artificial intelligence. And now the green movement, it's the ugly ex-girlfriend you dump. They don't even take her calls anymore.
No, no, but Microsoft, don't you understand? Mother Gaia needs more solar panels.
And there's Microsoft on the other end. I'm sorry, who's this? Don't call here anymore. I'm blocking your number. Click. That's why Larry Fink at BlackRock all of a sudden doesn't like all the woke stuff anymore. That's why Bill Gates changed his tune. Mr. Climate Change himself, bouncing all over the globe, telling you to drink poop water, telling you your SUV's destroying the planet. And like yesterday, Bill Gates is now out there in the news. Well, I mean, I probably took that a little too far. I mean, don't get me wrong. Climate change is still, it's a really big deal, but it's not as big of a deal as I said it was. It's not the end of the world. We kind of have to be reasonable about the whole thing. What happened? Did Bill Gates see the light? No. Bill Gates saw the bottom line. The green movement is the ugly ex-girlfriend. She got dumped. She gained 50 pounds. She got dumped because the AI movement is really pretty. There's a lot of money behind all this stuff. Look, one of the truest statements out there is just follow the money. Follow the money. The money is there for AI and data centers, and solar panels ain't gonna cut it. Therefore, it's nuclear power time, baby. Give me that oil. We might even start up some coal plants. Why? My data center needs it. Anyway, speaking of Bill Gates, I've got one for you. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.